Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
I think I speak for everyone here when I say, huh?
Here we are now. Entertainers.
Made of fail.
We never promised content.
Okay, at this point you're abusing sarcasm.
Come on, let's get this gay show on the gay road. Help me out here.
Good evening, everybody, and this is episode 5 of Made of Fail. I am Kevin.
I am Dana, and this is the epic wonder kitty, Kyle. You want to say hi, Kyle? Let's say hi. Well, you're going to get his bell.
Wonderful.
There we go.
Okay. Hi, Kyle. Anyway.
There's a reason he's here.
Is there?
He's our guest host.
Is he?
He's going to do better than Adam. Maybe Noel will like him.
Yeah. Noel is not a big fan of Adam.
I liked Adam.
Adam's a wonderful person. I love him. He's awesome.
He'll grow on you.
Anyway. Well, episode 5, we're doing an actual extra special edition. We tend to
very special edition.
Very special edition, one that will never, ever, ever be repeated.
Well, that's what I keep saying.
Theoretically.
You keep saying that you're going to drag it back in, drag me back into it.
I'm not saying I'm going to drag you back into it. I'm saying that, well, you know, if you don't be afraid to say that you liked it and want to do it again.
Okay, just so nobody thinks that what we're talking about is really perverted, my geek credentials have been, at times, called into question because I call myself a gamer, but that sort of is... I'm just a console gamer. I'm not a gamer.
You're very disparaging towards the pen and paper variety.
Tabletop RPGs have always been a source of contention between me and pretty much anybody I dated between 1997 and 2001.
Which accounts for your feelings towards it or against them, honestly. It makes sense.
I saw the D&D movie with a bunch of gamers.
Mm.
Don't ever do that.
No,
because here's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it with my boyfriend at the time, he of the chicken underwear, and
yes,
a couple of other people. And
who we have mentioned before.
2000. Yes. And they made me sign a release ahead of time where I couldn't heckle the movie, which just robbed it of all its fun. But they did give me a quick allowance as soon as we saw Richard O'Brien, so that was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, and when we got out of the theater, we went to Denny's because we were teenagers and that's what we do. And I'm sitting on my boyfriend's lap, and he looks at his friends and he goes, "You know, I need to give up on women. Concentrate more on game." Which is, yeah.
Yeah.
This is why he's an ex-boyfriend. So,
yeah.
I have a lot of harsh feelings towards D&D.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kevin has convinced me, and I
tell the story true.
I thought it would be funny for you, our listeners, to see what happens when somebody who's vehemently against these things actually tried it out for herself. And we've been practicing.
So you approached me and said, "Hey, this would be cool to do."
I said it would be funny to
yes.
do. Yes. It's for everybody else's benefit, but it was still begrudgingly.
Mm. Right.
I think it's a grand social experiment, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wish we just recorded the last practice run that we did.
Yeah, earlier tonight what we did, I helped Dana roll up her
we
very
weren't
first
going to make you
Dungeons
listen to
and
all
Dragons.
The preliminaries.
It took a long time. She's
yeah.
very against math. She's not for the mathy.
I still can't tell the difference between the dice.
She's not one to go look at math and say, you know, this
I like
could be
you.
Mathier.
Let's be friends. There could be more math.
Yes. This could be mathier.
My diapers were tweed. You're so gay.
Made of restraining order, seriously. Anyway, so earlier tonight I spent what seemed like a couple hours helping Dana roll up her very first Dungeons & Dragons character. She converted one of her other characters to D&D format, so...
Oh yeah, I write books, we should probably mention that. They're
yeah.
not any good, so you can't read them.
They haven't been published yet anyway, so it doesn't matter. So we have here Talia.
Talia!
Talia.
Short A. Midwestern accent, come on.
Ah, Talia. The level one human paladin.
Yep. And where we left off is Talia recently found herself minding her own business in the town.
Yeah, that's right. After we rolled the character, we did a little bit of an intro to how you play this game.
So we did the practice run and
a little short battle, and
I fought three dire rats all by myself.
Not entirely, but then
I was smart enough to toss a dagger to the girl whose ass I was saving, and she started like going apeshit on these dire rats. And then next thing you know, we use this. Kevin decided to use this in real life, where my cat Kitty the Wonder Kyle, or my cat Kitty, my Kitty the Wonder Kyle. My kid.
So Dana's cat Kyle was, you know, watching us play,
and he likes
watching
things
us
that
rolling
are hard
the dice.
Plastic.
And
he's trying to run away.
And so he was watching us roll the dice. And do you have my dice over there?
I don't have your dice.
What'd you put here? They are.
I don't know. You
there.
Hide your sack.
So after one of Dana's turns, he went and he batted at the D20.
And he rolled something like really high.
He rolled
high,
a really
like a
high number, like
it
was a 17.
Oh,
he rolled a 17. So
and,
I was
and
like,
Kevin just decided to score it. He
so
says,
I was like, so
an orange cat leaps into the fray.
He starts clawing at it, and
he took out a dire rat all by himself.
So I went and added Kyle into the initiative order, and
guys, I wish to God we could have videotaped this.
We
should for
have been
you.
Recording that. That
we
was pretty awesome.
We recorded ahead of this.
So
and then
I put him in the initiative order. I put him in the initiative order, and every time his turn came up, I said, "Okay, put a D20 in front of Kyle," and Kyle
and
would bat at it.
Bless him, bat
and
right
as soon
at
as
it.
As soon as it stopped rolling, we'd say 7 or 13, and then put the.
He always rolled pretty high.
He was rolling. Well, he got a couple ones for his damage rolls, but that doesn't matter.
No, it was like a 2. The lowest he rolled was a 2 for damage.
Yeah.
That's
so
pretty cool.
Yeah, we put a damage dice in front of him, and so he was playing him. Dana and Kyle were playing Dungeons and Dragons together,
and it was awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
That is the only
really
thing that
could
have possibly
that.
Sold me on
that.
That
was
game.
Like what, hour and a half ago, possibly.
Fantastic.
It was. Yeah. So anyway,
he got a treat, guys. Don't worry.
Now that Dana is fairly familiar with how things run,
I say let's just dive right in.
Yeah.
And,
so
where Talia left off, we found out about the
hey,
origins.
Hey,
of
who's the DM here?
I can recap.
Fine,
you're still in charge. So, Talia
job.
Has the last episode of things that you didn't actually see on television. Talia, the human paladin, has just defeated three dire rats with the aid of a woman named, how do you pronounce it?
Maria,
and Kyle the Wonder Kitty.
So it and, turns out it's Maria's cat.
Yeah, so I've made two friends in the town of Whitefall.
And then they parted
and
ways.
We parted ways, and now I need to... My quest is to find out why these ROUSs are in town, and I might possibly sell this bag of trinkets that I found in the alley. So, what...
As our story continues...
Alright, here we go.
You're in the streets of Whitefall, heading towards the pub, which Maria said, because she's not exactly a biologist, she said, well, you know, you may find somebody who possibly knows why the dire rats seem to be commuting into the city. So, you're on the streets of Whitefall, heading in a generally pubwardly direction.
Pubwardly. That's adorable, Kevin.
Okay.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready. Remember, it's whatever you want to do.
Alright, I enter the tavern and look around for somebody who seems to be foresty.
Could you describe foresty for me?
Dude, Lord of the Rings 1.
Okay, so a giant walking tree?
No, like a ranger.
Oh,
someone
okay, so
looks
someone...
like he lives in the forest and knows this shit.
Okay, well, you're in a general medievalish tavern. A lot of people there are fairly unwashed and smelly, and they look like they may have walked in from the forest or the latest, or the most most nearest. I can speak, really.
Who looks like the most affable, approachable person there?
The bartender.
I go up to the bartender and order a pint of beer.
Okay. He gives it to you and smiles and says, what's the nice girl doing in this part of town?
I'm not really good at coming up with dialogue on the spot, so this is going to be pretty crappy.
Well, just talk to me. Pretend it's me.
Okay. Can't I just say I ask him about the... Sure. Do I really have you to do dialogue? Because I suck at this on the spot.
You can say you ask him about it.
I ask the bartender about the presence of the RUSs in Whitefall.
RUSs?
Runes, I don't believe that.
I don't believe they exist.
Well, they do exist because I just killed three of them in an alley back there. I happened to fight them off with the help of Mariah and Kyle.
Oh, friends of yours, huh?
Yes. I was hoping he would know who they were, sorry.
Oh. Well, I couldn't tell you what to do with them. Perhaps Bob here could tell you what to do. Bob, come over here.
I turn to Bob and offer him my beer, which I haven't touched yet.
The man sitting next to you looks like he just got off duty from the city watch. Rodents of unusual size, he says. Don't see those in these parts.
Could there be
Texan.
Has this ever happened before that you know of, sir?
Every so often. My sergeant said that when he was once on the beat, he saw the rats coming through the gates to the north. Isn't there a force to the north? Maybe they live there.
What would provoke them to come to a town like this, do you think?
The man shrugs. Couldn't tell you.
Do you know anybody who might?
You could try the local librarian. I usually know something about the animals near these parts.
Well, thank you for your help, sir, I say, as I hand him my completely untouched beer by way of thanks.
He looks at the beer, smiles at you, says, mighty thanks, man, because he's medieval Texan.
Talia leaves the bar and goes to the library.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now that if you start doing magic missile at the darkness, I'm going to have Talia fall into a pit of D4s, okay? I'm warning you that right now. Anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, those things... I'll post a picture of
a D4.
Keep
going.
You don't want to step
really
on that.
Long episode.
Alright, so you head towards the library. The librarian comes and looks at you, and as you explain to the librarian what your predicament is, he nods and reaches over to a book. In the book is a picture that looks very similar to the rats that you just killed not too long ago. These the things, he says.
Dire rats, yep, there you go.
Well, they don't usually come near humans, not unless there's some sort of provocation. Maybe somebody went and destroyed their nest or something.
Where would their nest be?
Usually in the forest.
Talia asks the librarian if he knows of anybody who had a grudge against the RUSs who would have wanted to go out and tear down their nest.
The librarian shakes his head. No, I don't think there would be. Unless... He stops and thinks... Well, there was this activist group that was going around protesting the presence of dangerous creatures near the city.
Well, Talia thinks that over for a minute. There usually isn't much sense talking sense into activists. Is there another way to get the RUSs out of the city and back into their forest homeland where they belong?
Well, I don't know. Maybe you could go find out if... there's something still messing with their nest up in the forest.
I think I'll do that. Thank you so much for your help, sir.
He smiles and nods and waves you off.
I exit the, Talia exits the library and heads for the forest to the north.
You walk through the forest to the north, and you look... If you look back, you can see the, city of Whitefall with its, white stone walls and the towers of the keep behind it. But up towards the north is the forest. It's general forest. It has a nice foresty appearance.
I can't see it for all the trees.
Okay.
No, no drum roll or anything? Alright. It's all right. Way late.
You enter the forest.
I want to kill something.
You hear a hiss.
Snake! Cobras!
A rat jumps out
cobras
at you.
Cobras! Oh, no.
Alright. So what you need to
dun,
do is...
Dun, 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 dun.
You,
ooh,
roll
that
initiative.
Final Fantasy X.
Yes.
Right. No, I want to do quick draw.
It's, well, it... You, okay, draw your attack. Now draw your weapon, and now roll initiative.
Right. That should give me a +2 bonus to initiative. Shit, I rolled a 2, so good thing. 4.
Alright. The rat leaps at you, stumbles on some sort of root in the ground, and trips and falls on its face. Your turn.
Can I just step on it while it's immobilized?
It's prone. You do get a +2 bonus to any attacks made.
Oh, okay. I thought I was just gonna, like... I mean, I can't, like, aim. I can't, like, just step on its neck. It's dead.
It's...
What do you think?
Pretty big rat. I don't think you can do that. It's not immobilized.
I can step pretty hard.
It's not immobilized. It just fell on its face. So it's prone for a moment.
Alright, I'm going to see how fast I can drive my spider dagger into its neck. Or its
okay.
skull, okay? I'm going to aim for the fucking
okay,
skull.
Okay, give me an attack roll.
Alright.
So, an aimed attack.
Well, don't I roll the d20 to see if I even hit?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Go, roll.
Okay!
Roll the dice.
15, baby.
Okay.
And I'm using my,
dagger, that's, what, one? +5 to hit?
Yeah.
+5? Okay, that's a definite hit. Give me... A,
damage.
D4 damage.
Oh, D4? Oh, right, dagger.
For a dagger.
Where's that point?
The one you
bastard.
Don't want to step on.
E1.
Plus strength?
Strength is 2.
Okay.
I obviously did not penetrate the skull.
No.
Thanks. Did I even scratch the little bastard?
You definitely did some damage. It's bleeding a little bit. Alright.
Is it kind of stunned a little?
Mm-hmm. The rat manages to get up and bites at your leg, but it does not manage to penetrate your armor.
Okay. I try something weird for a minute. I try talking to the rat to see if I can reason with it.
Okay, give me a diplomacy roll.
Alright, that's a charisma 1. So which die am I
rolling?
D20.
Whenever there's a check,
all right.
Do you do a D20?
15.
15.
Plus charisma 1.
Okay. Let's see if the rat can even understand you.
I was only attacking in self-defense. The orphanage attacked me!
Well, it appears that the rat, while does not understand what you're saying, generally understands that you mean it no harm.
After I already scraped its head.
Well, it did attack you first, so it looks at you warily.
Okay.
So what do you want to do? You have the rat's attention.
But it doesn't speak English.
It's not attacking. It's not like... I mean, it's a rat. It's a very intelligent rat, but it's not, you know, human intelligence. It understands...
I sheathe my dagger, hold out my hands in a peaceful gesture. Hopefully the rat will understand that. Diplomacy check?
One more, yeah.
Shit! 3 plus okay. Charisma, so 4.
Oh, you lucked out. Okay. The, rat continues to watch you warily. Does not attack you.
Are we sure the rat doesn't speak English?
Doesn't speak.
Does the rat understand English?
It appears to understand the gist of what you may be saying. You might want to use a lot of body language.
Okay. Alright, so I can communicate with...
This is very unorthodox, by the way, so this is...
I know!
But that's the beauty of this game, is you can do whatever you want, and if it works, it works.
I don't know what I
want
to do now. I've managed to get it to not, you know, try to eat me, and I just want them to go back to the forest.
Okay, well, maybe you can look around for something that,
I look around
will
for something
you.
To help me communicate with the dire rat.
Give me a search roll.
D20?
Mm-hmm. And that would be under...
What's my modifier? Come on,
perception.
Man. Perception? Do I have a perception?
Yep.
Yeah, but it's a zero bonus, so just... 9.
You find what appears to be a sharpened stick. However, the ground... The ground on the forest is soft and easy to draw.
I draw a picture of me and the rat, smiling, holding hands to indicate friends.
The rat looks at you quizzically, like it has absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
I draw a picture of what I think is a rat's nest with a question mark next to it.
The rat starts growling.
Hmm. I draw a picture of rats in the town with a question mark to indicate why, and I also shrug for emphasis.
Hmm. The rat scrabbles a bit in the dirt.
Okay.
And this is a very, very intelligent... This is like the Lassie of rats, apparently. Some sort of Timmy is down a well somewhere. All right, it scrabbles in the dirt, and when it's done, there's a very... And I
can't
cannot...
stress enough how beautifully detailed...
How very crude this drawing is.
Oh no, it should be beautifully detailed. That would really show me up.
Of what looks to be a human.
Uh-huh.
With a big sword.
Uh-huh.
And what looks to be several rats lying on the ground.
Hmm. Okay, so somebody's obviously attacking you guys, Talia muses to herself. I wish I could figure out a way to somehow ask you who is doing this.
The rat stares at you.
I pray to my god, Pelor, for knowledge of how to communicate with the rat.
Give me a religion roll.
Call divine. Alright, it's gonna have a zero bonus. 17!
As you kneel down in prayer, you receive the general sense of urgency to move towards the northwest.
You get
a sense of direction, basically.
I move swiftly towards the northwest, wondering if the rat is going to follow to see what I do.
The rat follows you, but keeps a very close eye on you. It appears to understand what you're doing, and soon enough moves far enough forward so that you are following it. The rat leads you to a place and stops. It growls very, very softly and starts creeping forward very, very quietly.
Where is it taking me?
To the northwest. It takes you through a section of the woods.
Okay. I follow the rat to wherever it may lead.
Okay. It's very pointedly moving quietly.
I also move pointedly very quietly.
You clang as your armor... in your armor as you take every step. The rat stares at you and growls.
I stuff leaves in the joints of my armor so as to muffle the clanking. I'm not rolling for this. That's a good idea.
Give me a stealth check.
Stealth check. Alright, I got a plus 2. To 19.
You successfully muffle the sound of your clanking armor.
What?
As you creep through the woods, the rat leads you into a shaded area, and it starts moving even slower. As you walk through, you you see through the thicket a large man holding a very large sword. He's surrounded by laughing cronies as they...
How many laughing cronies?
You look carefully and there are five.
Probably couldn't take them.
They laugh loudly and drink and appear to be roasting dire rats over a fire. Around them is the destroyed remains of their nest.
So I'm just making this clear. The rats are obviously the victims here. They were provoked, and that's why they're in the town.
That's
right?
What it appears to be. Okay.
Well, I have a quick draw ready, just in case anything goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of gently shush away the rat so he's out of the sight of the rogues and the bandits, if you will.
The rat appears to understand what you're motioning for and slinks off to be still in the area but very hidden.
I approach the group, you know, carefully making sure they see that I am not a threat to them. And welcome them and... I shout a friendly greeting to them, asking what they are doing there.
The men, still holding their drinks, their alcohol, they move their hands to their weapons and stare at you. The large man, who appears to be the leader, shouts at you and asks you, first off, "Who the hell are you?"
No idea. I'm sorry. All right. I answer. My
Note
name.
Note the surprise on my face.
My name's Talia. I'm a paladin, hailing from Whitefall. I heard that there was some trouble in these woods regarding the rats. The rats have come to Whitefall and started attacking people. I heard that if we could somehow get them back into their nests and natural habitat, they would leave the townspeople alone.
The large man starts laughing. "You're one of them hippies?"
"If it makes you feel better, sir, why not?"
"Can't stand hippies." "I killed these rats. If they're in the city, I'll go and hunt them down too. What's someone like you gonna do about that?"
"I have no wish to harm either one of you. Actually, I was thinking this would be solved peacefully." Don't give me that look, Kevin.
Starts laughing. "Keep on dreaming, girlie. What do you do?"
Do I still have that bag of trinkets?
You still have the bag of trinkets.
I take out the bag of trinkets and say, "Why don't you guys take these, sell them for gold, and get all the beer you want in the tavern back at night at Whitefall? The bartender took a liking to me, so if you tell him I sent you, you can get some pretty decent beer."
The men look up at their leader expectantly. He frowns, but doesn't say anything. The men take this as a good sign and rush forward. One of them grabs the bag and they all dart away, leaving just you and the big man in the area.
"Well, now that I see where your men's loyalties lie," Talia says with a smirk.
The man growls at you and reaches for his weapon. But he does not draw it just yet.
"As I said before, I didn't come here to do battle. I simply want the rats to stop attacking the populace of Whitefall, and you seem to be provoking them."
"What the hell are you trying to do, then?"
"I'm just trying to get you away from the rats, and the rats away from the city, so neither of you bothers either one of you."
"Filth. They're vermin."
"What did the rats ever do to you?"
"What did they do for you? Why are you defending them?"
"They're just rats, dude."
He shakes his head. "You've got a lot of nerve talking to me like that.
I think you're
drunk,
you
don't clear off 5 seconds, you can join them for all I care."
"Well, I'd certainly..."
"Four."
"I would certainly never wish to see
Three.
Harm come to another living being unnecessarily, sir. Talia says, readying her quick draw. But so I don't think you're a harmless animal, sir, as Talia quick draws her short sword.
And barks a laugh. Tuh, it's not gonna be a challenge putting down a little puppy like you.
This guy's drunk, isn't he? I'm just checking.
Very, very clearly is.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to kill him, by the way.
Okay,
you can
do non-lethal damage.
Alright.
Just don't hit him with the blade.
Okay.
You can try and knock him unconscious.
Okay. Talia reverses the handle of her short sword and leaves it in its sheath.
Okay.
The very heavy metal sheath.
Okay. Give me an initiative roll.
Alright. Now don't forget, it's quick draw, so it's two to initiative. 10, so I roll 12.
Alright, you get to go first.
Alright. So rolling 6 for damage. That's my sword. Or am I going to roll something else?
You have to roll for an attack first if you're going to attack him.
16.
That is good enough to hit. Give me damage.
Since it's blunted, do I still roll the 6?
Yes, it's the same damage, but it's non-lethal,
okay,
so
cool.
It'll just knock him out.
Okay. 6. Plus my strength is 2, so 8.
Man grunts and he swings his big sword at you.
Do I roll for dodging?
No.
Oh.
What's your AC again?
18.
The flat of the blade catches you across the shoulder and knocks you back.
You're probably going to want to cut all this to air. Well, I don't want him to hurt any more rats that might decide to unexpectedly help me. So I issue Divine Challenge.
Okay,
one enemy creature close range, mark the target. Target must attack you if it attacks anything else, it takes a penalty.
Okay, so you've got it marked.
That was my turn, right?
Yeah.
Okay, his turn.
The man prepares for another great swing, giant sword, but you manage to duck under it. He swings about head height. He's swinging to kill, by the way.
I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that.
Just letting
Remember,
you know.
I have a shield.
Okay.
You seem to keep forgetting I have a shield.
I'm not forgetting that. It's part of your.
It's some pretty decent friggin' armor.
It's part of your AC. That's why it didn't hit you.
Okay. How about Enfeebling Strike? That is target one foe, special attack charisma, damage one weapon plus charisma mod. If you have marked the target with Divine Challenge, target takes -2 to attack until the end of your next turn.
Alright,
so
give me an
attack.
So he
can try to swing at me all he wants, but he's not going to hurt me very much.
Give me a charisma check.
Oh, my charisma is already... I already got a +1 modifier.
Yeah, so give me the roll.
Oh. The d20?
Yeah.
19.
Plus that. Okay, that's definitely high enough to hit him.
Okay.
Give me weapon damage.
5.
Plus 2.
7.
Plus your charisma modifier.
1. 8.
Alright, you managed to wallop him on the back of the head.
Awesome.
He's slightly dazed.
I turn quickly and whistle towards the bushes where the rat left me. I make wide sweeping gestures. Come on, guys, he's down.
The rat that led you in jumps into the fray and leaps at the man. Man manages to knock the rat out of the way, though, before it hits him.
Well, my turn for,
Actually, no, it's his.
That is his? I thought he attacked the rat.
No, that was, him blocking the rat.
Oh. Okay. I'm the gayest, most non-offensive TNT player ever.
The man swings his sword at the rat, but as he's already, slightly disoriented from your attack... Plus he's, you know, attacking somebody that's not you, because he's marked.
Right.
Takes all that penalty to hit.
Yep.
Completely misses the rat. Go ahead.
Alrighty. Bolstering strike.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be charisma mod, which will be one. So let's roll the hit. Six.
You do not hit.
Okay.
The rat scrabbles up and grabs the man by the throat and starts slashing him with its claws.
I said I didn't want to kill him. I think the rat can take
him. Man's definitely bleeding now.
I ask the man if he's willing to give up while he still can.
He roars in defiance and swings his armored hand at the rat, smashing it across the clearing. It shakes its head and glares at the man.
Excellent.
So definitely survived that one.
Well, that pisses Talia off. She doesn't like the animals getting hurt, so I'm going to roll for another bolstering strike. 15.
That'll hit him. Give me a damage roll.
5.
Okay.
Plus, you said 2?
Plus 2 for your strength.
Okay, plus 1 charisma, so 8.
Your sheathed sword catches him in the temple. He goes down. Unconscious.
I didn't want to kill you, I said. I say over his unconscious, as Talia says over his unconscious
the rat
body,
squeals.
But I have no problems with letting the rat finish it off.
And the rat squeals and rushes at the man. You can stay and watch, or you can turn away at this point. It doesn't matter to me.
I feel like staying and watching.
Okay, stay and watch as the rat digs into the man.
I make gestures to the rat after he's done with his grisly meal. I make wide sweeping gestures at the rat, towards the rat's nest.
So you're communicating through interpretive dance,
yes,
basically.
Yes, basically. I do my interpretive dance check. What is that, charisma? Or
not,
diplomacy?
Not playing a bard here.
Or diplomacy.
Just go communicate. You're
all
already,
right.
You're already
so
on
I
good
make
terms
gestures,
with them.
I'm, whatever gestures I decide I'm making, I try to indicate that the rat should go back to its nest, as well as call its friends who are in the town and go back to the nest, because now it's safe.
The rat squeals at you and goes back to its meal. You
well,
take that as a yes.
I head back into town, where the rats kind of pass along, don't they?
You suspiciously don't see them in the town after this.
Okay, I didn't mean to, like, you know, come up off your DM like
that. That's fine, this is your first game, it doesn't matter. Goes along with it anyway. You're good.
Okay. Well, I didn't kill anything, so I didn't get any experience. That was probably stupid.
No, you get story experience.
But that was funny.
You get story experience. You completed an event.
I did.
Yep. Give yourself 500 points.
Experience? Or just?
Yep.
Oh, neat. Okay, so I'm at 800 now.
800, and you only need 2 more to level up. And I think we should end it right there.
Aw, I wanted to go tell Maria that that there won't be a rat problem.
We can do that
anymore.
Next time. Let's end this here. We're coming up on the 42-minute mark.
Serious? You're gonna have to cut a lot of this.
Goes by, doesn't it?
Man. Alright. Listeners will actually see us in about 2 seconds, but Kevin, I guess I'm gonna have to see you in the morning. Because we're going to do some real ninja edit. Well, Kevin's going to do the ninja editing, because I don't know how to do anything except
two-part episode, one tonight, and
well,
we're going to finish it out tomorrow
episode,
morning. And yeah,
don't tell them. They're not supposed to be able to tell.
Let's do the transition scene.
And it's morning.
Yeah.
It's
can you...
really, really, really morning. I don't do mornings, Kevin. We're never going to be a morning show.
I can tell. Well.
So, yeah. Yeah, okay, fine. That was fun. And I'm forever going to be known as the woman who rolled for diplomacy against a dire rat.
You had fun. Admit it. You enjoyed it. I told you not to be afraid if you actually enjoyed it.
I don't think I would ever get into any kind of serious campaign, though, because I really didn't know what the hell I was doing, obviously.
No, that was your first game.
With the semaphore against the rats and everything. Yeah, that was like Monty Python D&D. I can just see it now. You know, you were attacked by a three-headed dragon and it's breathing fire at you. I roll for diplomacy. The dragon eats you. I roll for diplomacy.
I can see that happen. I can see Eric Idle and John Cleese and just actually doing
Stop
that.
Stop eating
sketch.
My pen. Bad epic cat. Oh, Kyle.
Huh?
Anyway, so we should probably do our actual stuff.
Yeah, the D&D portion of the show was basically
brought to you by the letter D.
Yes. And the number 20, which is the number of times you actually tried to roll diplomacy in the entire game. It actually was the beginning, it is a very long beginning of our Why Stuff is Awesome segment. And so I basically wanted to talk about tabletop gaming, D&D, why things like that are awesome.
And you know what? I don't even think you need to say anything. I think you just proved it just with that entire game.
Yeah, it's pretty much, you can do whatever you want. It's the limit is only, you know, your imagination and the limits of what the rest of the people want to do. You can, you're not limited by a set of four options like Final Fantasy: attack, run, defend, item, magic. It's more than four, but you can, you ask questions, you find out what you can or can't do.
Apparently, I can talk to a dire rat.
Yes, through interpretive dance.
I can't get over that. I can't believe that worked.
You know, I was just so shocked that you would actually try that.
Do you have any idea how many of my friends and all of my ex-boyfriends are going to give me so much crap for this?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I do. God.
And you brought it on yourself.
I know, but you know what? I will say, it's awesome, but it's not really for me. But to give
now
you kudos,
know.
To give you kudos, Kevin, that was a lot of fun playing with you. That was my first ever. You took my D&D virginity, and you were very gentle, but it was really funny. But the fact that he managed to, you know, convince me to even like get into this and. I will say that rolling my character was the most boring, god-awful thing I've ever done in my life.
No, but the actual playing, you enjoyed it.
I did.
Enjoyed it. And now you know.
But I don't think that I'm going to get into this seriously at all.
But now you know that for a fact, instead of just being disparaging because
and
of...
And they say that knowing is half the battle.
And the other half is apparently rolling for diplomacy.
Fuck you.
Maybe we should try that against Cobra.
Shut up. Okay. quick segue into...
Before you do that...
No?
I do have a couple corrections from last episode.
Oh, we got stuff wrong?
I did.
Well, I don't make mistakes. Go ahead and correct.
Both of them are related, and actually Noel pointed this out to me. Thank you, Random Minnesota Man. Nights into Dreams, I had mentioned, was for the Sega CD. It was actually for the Sega Saturn. Not sure how I got that confused, because... One was an awesome system, the other was...
Not quite so awesome.
Not quite as much. And actually, I had mentioned that they were working on the sequel. The sequel's been out for 9 months now.
Oh, wait for you to be up to date.
There's a reason why you're the one doing the video game news and not me. Knight's Journey into Dream... Journey of Dreams was released for the Nintendo Wii. In America on December 18th of 2007, so it's been out for quite some time now.
Why don't you let me handle?
Yeah,
this
you from now on you do video game news. I shouldn't.
You shouldn't do anything. You're
anything.
Just, you're my
Though I will
man.
Mention that I did see when I was in the store advertisements for Lego Batman.
Ah, and guess who's going to be playable in Lego Batman?
Who's going to be playable in Lego Batman?
Barbara Gordon, Batgirl.
Oh.
It's going to be out on, like, pretty much any system you can imagine on September 23rd. neat thing about Batgirl is that she can borrow gadgets from Batman. I'm not really sure how that's going to work.
It
gives her a little bit of sneaky, cheeky versatility.
Okay.
Other characters who are going to be... I knew that! Kevin, I got up at oh my god, in the morning, and I shouldn't even be awake at anything that ends in AM, okay?
Maybe you should roll for diplomacy.
Kevin, I'm gonna hit you so hard with the feline trebuchet. Other playable characters, besides obviously Batman and Robin, Joker and Harley Quinn, Two-Face, Scarecrow, and Catwoman, and that's all I've seen from the ads and the trailers. And Mr. Freeze and the Penguin.
Ooh, speaking of the Joker,
They
released, and we'll either link to this or embed this, because I think we can do both, in the show notes.
You know what? Link to it.
I'll link to it. They released examples of the Joker's gameplay in Mortal Kombat versus the DC Universe, and including one of his fatalities. And we're not even going to describe it. On
I
air,
really
you can't.
Don't spoil
you
it.
Well, you can't describe it because
I will just say that it is very quintessentially Joker.
It's perfect. It's perfect, and you have to keep an eye on his facial expressions during the entire gameplay.
It looks
gameplay.
Like it's overall going to be a really fun game.
It looks really basic. What they do, it's I'm sure some of you have seen this already. It's a video of one of the developers showing some of the gameplay of Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe. This was on GameTrailers.com, and behind him, as he was talking, there was Superman versus Sub-Zero, and Sub-Zero versus the Flash, and just to show some, it was going on in the background just to show some of the way things worked. You could see Superman's heat vision.
And they confirmed Wonder Woman.
They confirmed Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman also on the DC side. It'll be in the video.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, they confirmed on the DC side, as part of the DC villains, Deathstroke the Terminator.
That's gonna be.
Which is going to be that is perfect for the Mortal Kombat universe. I can imagine some of his moves. They also confirmed a couple playable characters. Playable characters for the Mortal Kombat side, but it's in the video, you'll see. But then they led into the Joker fight, and he actually was playing the Joker and going through a little demonstration of his moves, and then he did his fatality. You just have to watch it for yourself. We can't describe the awesome.
Yeah, it pulled me over.
Thank you, Jim, for showing this to me. My friend Jim, who I need to actually get around to seeing lately. I haven't seen him in like over a year. This is really horrible.
Nobody cares about you and your friends.
Anyway.
I wanted to segue like back right after we did the D&D thing about my friend Josh up in New York is a blacksmith for Starfire Swords.
Ah.
They do,
I think I've heard of them.
They do, you have not.
Starfire?
I don't know. Anyway.
Sure
they work in steel and leather. Mm-hmm. It's for costumes, decoration, and stage combat. They actually got some pretty good stuff. I looked at their entire catalog, and I'm sitting there going like, I want that boot dagger, but they probably should not let me have knives. You can go to starfireswords.com and check out
that.
Their stuff. More in the vein of not just D&D, but general gaming geeky activities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of Will Wheaton. Eventually, I'll do a "Why Will Wheaton is Awesome" post.
Well, aren't you trying to?
I'm trying to get him to listen. It's just a very delicate.
So yes, delicate. Why don't you describe your delicate process, Dana?
Plugging the show at every single opportunity on that board. he's got
very subtle.
Well, Will Wheaton is known a lot more these days for writing on his blog, WillWheaton.net. Which actually doesn't work anymore. There's a different...
Link to his new one.
He's
Move
got
on.
A propeller group called Geeks, which is, just random gaming, geeky sci-fi news. It's a lot of fun. It's got over 400 members right now. I'm on there as Queen Anthi.
Of course.
That's
how Peter David knows you.
Everybody. It's like my only online presence aside from my LJ name.
Mm-hmm.
But Geeks is a lot of fun. You can submit stories and start conversations once you join up. That is at www.propeller.com/groups/geeks. Check it out. It's absolutely hilarious. And Will and I were talking about stuff. You know, remember how I was talking about Shadowgate should come out for the DS?
Right.
He's all over that. Every time I see like his taste in video games, it just makes me fall in love with him a little bit more. It's awesome.
Shameless, you know.
Me and Shameless are having a torrid affair behind my husband's back.
Shame train has left the station, and you were not on it.
Hey, I'm wearing pants this morning. I think we just lost
Vaguely.
A listener. All right, your turn, man. What else you got for news? Oh, our death curse.
Oh, yes.
Our death curse. We went
over
this time.
Nobody apparently died after our third one, but...
we made up for it.
We made up for it, not only with our fourth episode, but apparently because our fourth episode was double, we got triple the deaths.
How does that work out mathematically?
Well, one to make up for the one that we missed.
Oh, and for the double...
And then two for the double
you
episode.
You justified people's deaths mathematically. Congratulations, Kevin.
You know, there are... You know...
Alright, well, tell them who died.
Well, I'm sure everybody knows the most publicized one was, of course, Bernie Mac, who has been suffering from sarcoidosis.
Which is what now?
It's a lung disease that has it produces lumps of cells in the body that goes and clots up stuff and whatnot. It had apparently went into remission in 2005, but as soon as everybody heard about this, they thought, okay, is this what it was? He was hospitalized on July 24th of this year with an infection that was later identified as pneumonia. His publicist said it was pneumonia, and
which is not pleasant, by the way.
No, he said that Bernie Mac was responding well to treatment and should be released soon. 2 weeks later, the announcement came that he had died from complications. The Bud Billiken parade in Chicago, actually, which was held on the day he died, was dedicated to him. Incidentally, following up on that, the next day, who died was Isaac Hayes.
Not only did the song for Chef, but played Chef on almost every episode of South Park until he went crazy Scientologist.
Yeah, 10th
and
season,
killed
I believe it was. So, Isaac
so
Hayes.
May he be resting in the arms of Xenu. All hail Lord Xenu. I can't do that, I'm sorry. I'm not really one to disparage religions and freedom of choice, but. Dude, Scientology, that's not a religion, and I'm going to just come
well,
out.
Well, the thing is that Parker and Stone people. Mentioned that Isaac Hayes went all up in arms about them doing on Scientology, but and he said that showing that he has a problem. Isaac Hayes said that he had a problem with them not treating religion with the respect it deserves.
Well, they would if it was a religion.
Well, no, but here's the thing, though. He apparently had no problem with all their bashes of Christianity.
Don't forget the Jews.
Judaism.
basically everything
Islam,
else ever.
Mormons. Pretty much, he has had no problem with that. But the moment that they turn their eyes on the Scientology,
they're a bunch of crazy bastards, dude.
Yeah. I'm actually not seeing any specifics on his death.
He died.
Here, he died. But his
no longer living.
His bereft of life. He
formerly of the
peace.
Living, now otherwise engaged. This is an ex-Scientologist. He's resting. Beautiful plumage. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm not seeing any...
Alright, Death number three.
Death number three. Leroy or Leroy? I'm still not sure how it's pronounced.
Leroy Moore
was the saxophonist of the Dave Matthews Band. Died on the 19th of August, so not too long ago, actually, less than a week ago. There was an ATV accident on his farm in Virginia on June 30th. He broke several ribs and punctured a lung. Was hospitalized for several days. He was released a few days later, but then rehospitalized later in July for complications related to the accident.
Just once, I'd like to see somebody's drummer die, like, and actually die in a bizarre gardening accident.
But you mean like Spinal Tap?
Yes, Kevin. That was the joke.
Yes.
Jeez.
You're not the only one who just woke up like half an hour ago. Okay?
This is why we normally record at night, kids.
Alright, well, that's everything I had. Was there anything else?
I did want to let people know, for those of you who are in the UK, if anybody, you lucky limey bastards, on the 25th of this month, which is in a few days, right? I don't know what date it is.
25th is in 2 days,
okay,
on Monday.
This
doesn't get posted today.
Right, so on the 25th, you lucky bastards get X-Men... The animated series from the 90s, season 1. And
on DVD.
Go ahead and go order that on amazon.com.uk. And we're going to be sitting here wishing we had region free DVD players.
I
bastards.
Do.
Well, you.
It's called my computer.
Yeah, well.
I can play region 2 DVDs.
I don't love you anymore. Also, they recently, and by recently I mean probably a month ago, and I just never got around to it. The one and only clip that was ever produced for the long-dead shelved Buffy animated series, I will link to that.
It's completely awesome. It's very, very sad that it never got off the ground.
I know.
Because it's really, really awesome.
It takes place in their high school years. It looks like season one-ish because, you know, it's just Willow and Xander and Giles.
It looks like season two because Willow's got her shorter hair.
Really? It could be like one,
but
two.
But it doesn't matter because it's not going to be expanded beyond that.
But it was silly. All the voices.
Voices
are still
all
there.
Of them except for Buffy.
And she was voiced by Giselle Lauren, who did the Buffy
video game.
So it's
very close. And her in the clip, it's actually not as high pitched as it was in the video game. So it actually sounds a lot more like Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah,
because
that's
the problem
I
had with the video game, because it was a little bit too high-pitched and squeaky for Buffy.
Yeah.
But the vocal mannerisms, perfect.
She does a good job. I can live with her.
So
that's all the news we got. And, wow, this is really kind of depressing, because I don't want to stop talking, but I'm sure people are sick of us.
Yeah.
This is my last episode.
Not for good. But for quite some time.
Until I come back. Because I am moving in about, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Oh my god, 5 more days, and I am so nervous about it.
It's gonna be okay.
So, I hope everybody thinks of me, and, well, at least if you're gonna do that, can you make me naked and thinner?
Good night, everybody.
In the meantime, we are going to have a rotating cast of guest hosts.
And you all may remember Adam from our last episode.
Our cousin Oliver, if you will.
Sorry,
Noel.
Who's said this not just once, but also on his own blog.
Oh, and yeah, thank you for pimping us, Noel. That was really
That was the most amazing advertisement that I've ever seen for us. We may actually have a couple new listeners, just because of you.
Hi, guys.
Yeah. So Adam may be with us for a couple episodes. I'm sorry, Noel, but he might be.
He'll get funnier.
He's been working on it.
We'll douse him with Joker venom. How about that?
He's been working on it.
Who else is coming in?
There will be my friend Tessa, who, huge Final Fantasy geek, so possibly able to fill in your shoes for that.
Okay.
What I'm really excited about, possibly for the next episode that we do, actually. My girlfriend Jillian, currently in Texas, who's completely awesome, and I am not in any way biased at all in this opinion.
Not at all.
No, but,
if you can just make sure that she doesn't giggle for, like, 40 minutes, I think we'll be good.
They gotta hear her giggle at least once. It's the most adorable thing you've ever heard. And she's gonna hit me for saying that, but it is.
And you guys are doing a vampire special
next? We are probably going to be doing some sort of vampire special, so I'll go ahead and, pull together some stuff, because Twilight is coming out. Breaking Dawn is the fourth book in the Twilight series, and that came out not too long ago. Gotten a few mixed reviews. I'll make sure to reference the one from Cleolinda. But Twilight, we're going to have a talk about Buffy, possibly. Possibly.
It's this show, Kevin.
Yeah,
we can't
made of restraining
30
order.
Seconds without making some sort of Buffy-esque reference.
I
have faith in you.
Laurel K. Hamilton, possibly. I apologize in advance. But we'll see how that goes. It should be in 2 weeks, so...
Ish. We don't know how long. I'm probably going to be gone for at least 2, maybe 3 episodes. I should be back for a Halloween show, depending on...
The way we do the show is it's
whenever.
2 or 3 weeks, roughly, whichever we feel like. But anyway, we've got some special stuff lined up for you guys for next time.
I'm really sad. But you know what? I'm really looking forward to seeing what you guys do without me. I'm sure you're going to crash and burn, because it takes, like, you know, 6 or 7 people just to fill my spot. That's not because I'm fat!
That's okay. We'll just roll for diplomacy.
Good night, Kevin.
I do believe we should draw this episode
to a close. Yeah, why
don't
we stop now so I can beat you with this cat?
Thank you for listening. This has been episode 5 of Made of Fail. Make sure to email us. What's our email address again, Dana?
made_of_fail@yahoo.com. Oh, I should probably put in one request. Well, first for Epic Cat to start being quieter when I'm on the air. But the main request is that we are looking for anybody who's good at writing show tunes, because we are going to burst into song at some point when I come back, and we've got some lyrics. So if you're good at coming up with jaunty ditties that are singable in the key of kind of maybe E, that's about all I'm good at, shoot us an email, let us know.
The key of poison, basically.
Yeah, basically. And, shoot us an email, let us know if you're any good and willing to take on a song that one of our listeners came up with, and I'm dying to make it into a show tune.
Mm-hmm. Also, one last thing before we leave. We are searchable on iTunes now, Dana.
I knew that.
We have an iTunes page, finally. I finally figured out how to get that working, and...
go to the iTunes store and just type in Made of Fail, and we'll come up.
Yep. So, but thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful day. Good night.
Dungeons & Dragons. Satan's Game.